Danny, I didn't know if you were going to comment on my attire.
Is that a guayabera?
It's a guayabera. Yeah. I don't know
Ah,
if
my
you,
man.
I threw that on because I thought this could be a very Latino, a very
Yeah, we
Latino
could do that. We could
podcast.
do that.
It's a very Latino podcast, very Latinx, Latinx. So
Latinx.
yeah. So, but hey, it is, I think it's a Latino X. heritage
Latino
bunch.
X.
So
No,
yeah, well,
because you can't, you gotta take the A or the O out and just put the X. That's the thing.
Latinx, yeah.
Latapes,
So
Latinx. It's kind of like
I decided,
spandex.
yeah, spandex, Latinx. So yeah, I thought I'd wear that guayabera for
Yeah,
this,
looks good, man. Looks
thank
good.
you so very much. I appreciate
Although
it.
I think it's supposed to get cold this evening down here in
I
Florida.
yeah, yeah, I'm hoping
So
so. I'm hoping so. So
you gotta make sure nothing protrudes through that shirt.
no,
Like
I
too like
No, well,
Yeah,
I'm known for them. I'm known
so am I. It's a Latinx thing.
It's a Latinx thing. Awesome.
This episode is presented by Tech Tailgate 2022. MSB Media Network is proud to premiere Tech Tailgate at IT Nation Connect 2022. Come tailgate with your favorite vendors and pros in the MSB channel all throughout the week. Learn game-winning strategies, pick up exclusive swag through special giveaways, and build up your roster for another W at the Super Bowl of IT events. Look out for our locker room interviews from all the major players leading up to the week of the big game. To learn more, visit techtailgate2022.com.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and kick it off. I'll
All right.
welcome everyone. I'll welcome you. Welcome everyone to 38 at 38. This is my name's Aaron Bolton. This podcast is all about worst job stories. So here's the thing. I'm at 38 years old. I've had 38 jobs, and most people are like, "Oh, you know, oh,
Yeah.
okay." But there's reason behind all that. And throughout this podcast, episode by episode, I jump into all the ridiculousness of whichever job my guest picks right after my guest tells their worst job story. And then we chat about it. All right. And I'm so happy to say that my guest today is Dan. You can't just say, you got to say like, Danny Loza. Like, it's something big. I like your
Man, you
name.
need the intro music.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun. Wave to the
Right.
crowd. You got to do that. Yeah.
Super cousin Danny, super cousin Danny. Thank you so very much. Tell us a little about yourself if you could, sir.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. As most people know, we had a little bromance going, so I was more than happy to do it.
Thank you. Yes.
There may be a, private candlelight dinner involved in this, but
There may
we'll
be a
get to that.
rekindling. There may be a
Yeah,
rekindling
yeah,
here.
yeah.
So
Yeah,
no expectations,
so
no expectations.
yeah. So some of you guys may know me as Super Cousin Danny at the Tech Bar with Ray. Ray's my cousin. I've been at OIT VoIP now since beginning of 2018. Before that, I was a realtor, and but that's not my worst job story. So yeah, I've been working slowly in the department for porting, basically the transferring of numbers over to our VoIP service, and then slowly but surely been, expanding my horizons, if you will, within the
Nice.
company. And yeah.
Very cool. So your worst job story doesn't come from your days in real estate, but I'm
No.
sure you've got some pretty rough stories, like maybe sh showing some houses that should not have been shown at all.
Right. So, just real quick, I had a couple of instances. Basically, the main job was doing inspections for banks, not really selling houses. So I was just doing
Okay.
inspections for bank. It's a cheaper version for them than on appraisal. It's called a BPO. And a lot of times they're empty houses. So there's two instances I remember. This was in the holidays. It was a very Latin area. Kendall, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
So I went to do one, and it was like, this was in December, and I went to go knock on the door. Nobody was there, and then I got chased by a pig to get out. So I'm pretty sure that pig was a nice meal for the family
Oh, wow.
for
Oh,
Christmas, for
yeah.
Noche Buena.
Yeah, I was
So
right about
that
saying,
was
yeah,
one
what
of them.
time of the year was it?
The other story was in a very not so nice neighborhood, and I was just taking pictures. All the windows were boarded up, bright day, but it was dark inside. Right. And they had one door that led out to the patio that, you know, had a glass fixture on it. I went through, took my pictures, you know, inspecting and all that. When I walk out, the door had somebody written on it, "Look behind you, cracker." I'm like, what? Yeah, it was kind of scary.
Oh, man.
So I got out of there. I was like, what? Wow, I was in a haunted house. I was in my own horror.
And that
story.
Was not there when you walked in, right?
No, it was there. I just, oh, okay. The problem is that was also boarded up as well. So when you walked through it, you didn't see it. But when you turned around, you saw the glass part where it was written. I was like, oh, yeah, that was
my goodness. That is crazy. Danny, from now on, you tell that story, but you leave out.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, but you leave that part out. And you're just like, no, you leave out the boarded up. You're like, it could have been there. I didn't see it.
Like
just let people imagine. You start a new lore. They're going to be talking about that in like real estate school. You're like, now there was a story. Exactly. Did you hear
about horror stories? Start my own Reddit page.
Danny Laura. Then you got to put a real grizzle on Laura. The story. Awesome. So yeah, I'm excited. So I'm thinking of the different ones that you're going to choose for me later. And I don't know it, but I'm wondering if there's a connection. I don't know. I'm going through because you don't even know the companies. You just have the quotes. Right. So, but either way, all right. I'm sorry. Let's get into this, Danny. Danny, I love asking these questions. You know, this question specifically. And look, this whole setup for the podcast, I definitely recommend this when you're at a networking group or you're at like a corporate meeting or at a convention where you're eating lunch and other people are at a table and it's weird, it's awkward. Just ask the question. Be bold. Ask the question of, hey, what's the worst job story that you have? Every time I've done, that's like my new go-to. That's my go-to icebreaker. And look, it has never failed me. Never. And I talk a lot. And people, you know, every now and then it gets kind of awkward where it's like, someone's like, I've had one job for 35 years and I love it. I'm like, okay. You don't have a worst story? The best. Okay. Yeah. You're the weird one. You're the weird one at that point. So I love hearing these other stories too, and really seeing what some people think is like really bad. Like, oh, that's not that bad. Or what you, that's really bad. You can't do that. You know, I think you're still wanted. Right. Awesome. So Danny, what's your worst job story that you got?
All right. So again, let me preface this by saying this is more of the conditions.
Okay.
The story. My dad, first year out of high school, I'm in college. So I get my first summer job in college. Okay. My dad started a business where he would go to local, like little quickie marts, gas stations and sell the actual, you know, hot coffee dispensers, you know, where you
get
like French vanilla, hazelnut, all that. Right.
Yeah.
So the way his business model was, you purchase it and then we will fix it. And by we, he means me.
Right. Right.
So the part that made this
your dad runs a business, which
means
that
for this, in this particular,
which means
time
that you're in the business, which means you're in the business. Yeah. That's period.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. I'll just say if it wasn't family, I probably would have quit.
Right. Right. Got it. Understood.
So what made it, here come the circumstances. It would not be uncommon that I spend the whole weekend just going to all the different locations, making sure everything's good, resupplying them, doing, you know, everything that you would do. So it's not only just all the driving. It was my original car, which did not have AC.
Oh. Okay?
So in this particular weekend.
Wait, how old were you?
19.
No,
it was my first car. I still had my first car. I got it at an auction for like $350.
Absolutely. You get it.
And it was a Mustang. Oh,
been there. It was a Mustang. But, you know, it was
a four cylinder Mustang.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Right. That's awesome. Yeah. So, all right.
This is
On the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And then we're talking about hundreds of miles. No AC and in the summer.
Oh.
Okay. So it's not only just resupplying them. They'll be like, hey, something's wrong with the machine. You got to go fix it. So I go and fix it. But then a lot of these places also don't believe in ACs because the doors are constantly opening.
It was
pretty rough weekend, which I could also add what kind of was pretty interesting about that. The majority of the issues is that nobody would buy anything. And then the actual powder that was mixing into the hot coffee would cake up on the nozzle, so you won't get any, you wouldn't get any flow. So that was just simple. Clean it out.
But again, it's like self-fulfilling. Exactly. It's like, well, it's broken because no one's buying anything, but no one can buy anything because it's broken. Yeah.
But it's actually interesting because the one thing I did like about the job is that was the first time at 19, you know, somebody was looking at me like I had the answers on trying to fix something, you know. That was kind of cool. But the amount of sweat, it was bad. I had change of clothes in the car. It was really bad. It was really bad.
So you did it all weekend. So what did you do during the week?
School.
Okay, so school during the week. And then you had this job that took up the full weekend. Golly, the context. You're right. The context is very important because I think the most important context there is 19 years old, right? You're 19 years old. What do you want to do?
You got to remember, it's 19 years old in the summer.
Right.
In Miami.
It kind of sucks. Oh my goodness. You're right. Because you go out to the beach early and late and all day or whatever, but all of those hours, early, late, during the day, were taken up.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, that has got to be. I remember. So I was like, I was bullied a lot in high school, right? So the positives from there was I specifically remember where I was in school, and I said, you know, I was going through a lot of stress, and I was like, you know, I'm going to remember this for when I'm older, because I knew that like I'm going through stress, but I'm sure older people have gone through this stress and much worse. And I'm not going to be that adult that says, oh yeah, but you know, that's nothing, you know, because if a younger person is going through stress, chances are that is the most stress they've ever gone through. You know, if it's so high, it's like, oh, they're burdened with it. That's the most. So just equate that. I thought as a kid, I was like, so when I'm an adult, whatever the worst thing that I'm going through at that moment, that's the same feeling as I'm having as a kid, the worst thing. So thinking like that and thinking of a 19-year-old that really, like, hormones are running, testosterone's flowing, you're 19 years old, let's go to the, like, where people flock from around the world to go to Miami Beach during the summertime.
Yeah, it was rough.
It just seems like there's another clog. You got your brush in there. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's got to be.
Give me a wet paper towel. Clean it out. All right.
I've got this. No, let me. I can show you how to do it. You don't want to see? Gotcha.
That wasn't part of the package. They say that a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
It wasn't part of the package. No, it's part of the package. Your maintenance. Exactly. Maintenance. You have to do it.
It's very interesting that you said that, because that brought me up as how you deal with stress, because I think it does make a difference your age as well, because the same amount of stress you get at 40, it could seem like the end of the world for somebody because they're not familiar with it, you know? So it is an interesting fact or point.
So this is my theory on this. That's why old people don't talk, because they get it. They've seen it and they're like, and look, already I'm 39 years old, and I'm already to see things work on a grander scheme in society, like cyclical. Like, oh, we've been through something like this before. You know, we've been through, maybe not in my lifetime, but over the past 100 years, I've been, okay, there's these things that kind of recur and everything. And I think at a certain age, you get to be like, okay, it's going to happen again. Right. I've lived through something like this 4 times, 5 times. I'm just going to sit back, and everyone's going to be like, bah, 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 and the whole person. Yeah, you're right. No, I've heard that before. Oh, that won't work. Yeah. Okay. Try, you know, okay. You do it.
It's true. Isn't it?
It doesn't matter, because whether you do it or not, it's going to happen again in the future, and someone will or will not do something as well. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's why old people shut their mouths. Cause they know, they're like, well, I'm going to say something. You're not going to take it for sure. So Or maybe I'm just giving older people a lot of credit.
Right. They're wise, man.
Maybe they're cynical. Yeah, I think that's the wisest part. The wise, like, what am I going to do? Belabor on this and da da da. When I know that it's been done by people now of my age throughout the ages, and the younger people are just not going to pull it in. Okay, well, I'm just not going to.
Right. Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite quotes is, and I do not recall who said it, but it was, at 17, I knew everything. At 70, I know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, dude, I've been trying to say that, just, and say it, and I say it out loud so I can believe it and I'll do it better, right. Which is like, I know so much that I don't know.
Right.
I know as much as that I don't know. Like when my wife was pregnant, right? And with our firstborn, so many people were like, oh, it's amazing. You don't even understand. You can't even tell. And so many people would, maybe in my position, would say like, oh, I know. Or yeah, I know. I went ahead and said, I was like, you're right. It was told me so many times. I just ended up getting annoyed by it. I was like, you're right. But I at least know that it's going to be so big that I don't even know.
Yeah.
So you're right. I don't know. And I think that's a good way to take life. Like, okay, you don't know possibilities, but you don't know.
Exactly.
You don't know.
Exactly.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Very good. This has been the Philosophical Punch with Aaron and Danny.
Yeah.
I like theme songs. Yeah. Philosophical Punch. So check it. In my mind, quickly, I was like, I like alliteration. So I just put two P's together. Didn't even think about the way they sounded.
Right.
Just,
right.
Ah, I failed alliteration. I'll get you one day.
All right. So I also have an honorable mention as a worst job experience. Again, this is based on the circumstances. I was working as an airplane mechanic. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff.
Okay.
In a small municipal airport. And all of a sudden, I'm working and I just see Humvees flying everywhere, military, choppers, everybody's going down. This was 2001, September
11th. Whoa.
And the amount of security going through each, and it wasn't just me, and there was a lot of shops there, and they had to go everyone. I did not get home till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
I was supposed to get out at 4. It was a thing.
Yeah, man.
That day, you know?
Golly, yeah, that day was definitely nuts, but
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, that is an were you thinking about that afterwards? You're like, oh crap, hold on. I forgot this.
No. That one is always in my head. But then wanted to pick something, you know, that it was very hot summer that
year. Oh no, I get it. No, possibly. Look, I think context is the most important thing, like we talked about, man. Maybe if you're, 23, 24 and you live in Kansas, you know, I'm not trying to knock Kansas. Let's say Nebraska. I'll knock Nebraska. I don't care about that. You're out in the middle of the cornfield. It's like, all right, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't know what people do. I just know.
Just say flyover states?
Flyover. Oh, ooh.
Yeah, maybe edit that one out.
Important. Very important. They're part of the union. Of the union. So with your story that you had, what did you learn? Was any lessons learned or something that you pull back from, like, nowadays?
I learned that prioritizing, you know, it's very hard as a 19-year-old in Miami during the summer to kind of, you know, put work and play to the side. So it did teach me that, you know, you got to prioritize your stuff, you know, even if it is the summer, and you know, you could always work around it in the evenings, not during the day for the beach.
Right.
You know,
that's okay. People go to the beach in the evening. Go to the beach in the evening.
I also learned that there are two types of people that work with family, right? There's the ones that take advantage of the situation. And there's ones that go above and beyond. And I learned that I'm the above and beyond. Because like I said, this was my dad's, you know, little startup that he did. And I did mention, if it was anybody else, I would have quit.
So, yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. You got to go above and beyond. You can't go the other way. Awesome. Exactly. Awesome. All right. Yeah. Now I got to put a little plug-a-roo in here. So we'll just take a little stoppity. And then I'll just transition to saying something like, hey, real quick, we're going to take a brief pause so we can hear from our... Did it come up? Sponsor.
Those of you that attended Huntress's Hackett 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know they're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hackett 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call day zero is a hands-on hacking training lab, cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away 5 of the 0-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely, we invite you guys to sign up for Hackett 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
All right, Danny. So let's switch it around. I want to know, with butterflies in my tummy right now, because I don't know which quote that you picked, just to let everyone know, he was sent a list of quotes. Each one of those quotes represent one of my 38 jobs that I've had. And he gives me the quote, and I've got to talk about that story, you know, just, you know, right off the top of my head. So let's hear
All right.
What's the quote?
The quote is, it can play the DVDs and the CDs and the PlayStation games and the different software.
I'm excited about this one. I'm excited. This was one that I wasn't going to put on the list because this job was, I almost wanted to do this episode with that quote with someone who I worked there with, just so they can confirm that I'm not making this crap up. Like, but I was like, no, I'm not going to, because this is so, so that right there, that quote is actually a quote, an exaggerated quote from a person who worked at that that Sears with us. So I worked at Sears, from, 2000 to 2002 .. Right. Like question mark, because just as an overline, and this actually, one of my first, I think the first episode 1, I talked about working for Champ Sports. So I was working for Champ Sports. I ended up working at Champ Sports Mall locally where I lived in a senior year of high school. And then I just went over to Sears to work there because there was an opening. I think it was like $1 more an hour. I was like, $1 more an hour. Yeah. All right. Take that. So I went over there and I started working in the section that I was like, this is going to be the coolest spot. We sold the computers. We sold, video games, like the whole wall of video games, systems, portable home phones that was thrown in there, and also car stereos. All right. And that computers department. And then we were right next. It was like a whole ecosystem. It was so funny. Right next was like the big screens and the salespeople, and it was commission sales. And these people are like, they've been with Sears for 10, 15 years, and they're the grizzled and they're like the sharp, and they're making like at Sears, like $80,000-$90,000 a year working at Sears selling big screens. Right. And you're like, okay, so they're like, little guy, one day you can cross that aisle. Right. You know, that's cause we were like the little, and then we were also across from like refrigerators and washers and dryers, which all kind of the same thing. They were like, they were dressed up in suits every day. You know, if you remember back in the day, Sears was something. You know, they were dressed up in suits and they were like top notch. They were serious. They were professional. And then we had this little group right in like the middle of all of these very professional departments that was computers, video games, and telephones. And you can tell, and car stereos. So you can tell it's just like the hodgepodge department of all the crap. They were like, let's just throw this all here. This was selling computers that were like the compact Presarios. You know, when the IMAX first came out, those nice colorful IMAX, like that's around the era that I'm selling these computers. The .. when I stopped working there, because that's the only job I've gotten. I was hired, fired, rehired, quit, rehired, and I might still be working there. I might still be. So I started this whole thing in high school. Man, so the quote, that specific quote, in our little department, little small hodgepodge department, there was myself, a buddy of mine, David, who was a freshman in college, another buddy of mine, still to this day, Adam, who was a senior in high school, and an older guy, not older, well, older to us. He was like in his 30s, but he was cool. He worked the days. He worked the day shift along with this lady who worked the day shift. And I won't learn her. I'll give a sound alert. Her name Beulah. And I feel very, very weird because people who might watch this, who have known me for years, and I'm not calling anyone out, but her name is Beulah, and I won't give her last name. And it was getting older. It was almost like tragic, you know, thinking about it. But I'm like, she was in her mid 50s, worked in the video game department, but had no technological knowledge at all. Like no technological knowledge. And she was she was quirky, really quirky. So we would handle returns that the returns were like, they're sending back, I want to bring back this computer because people go do returns on the nights or on the weekends. So they'll come and I want to turn back this computer. Oh yeah. What's wrong with it? Look at it. Sold by Beulah. It's like, she told me you could play PlayStation games. She told me it could play PlayStation. Yeah, she told me it could play a Dreamcast, Sega Dreamcast games. Oh, she said any. So we heard this a few times, but we're kids. What do we? First of all, we rarely ever see, you know, the Beulah and Matt. Matt every now and then, who's the older guy in his mid 30s, early 30s, right? That in my mind, he was so older. So, but she. So we kept seeing these. We're like, well, okay, who do we even tell? But it was like, all right, whatever. Like, no, everyone just let her be. She would do that with so many returns. I mean, we caught her one time, like a few of us talking, and we look over, we just hear, because we also sold shredders. We start hearing, and we look back, and because it's such a hodgepodge department, we also sold the shredders, and they were right behind the register, and Beulah, you know how you like, well, she took the receipt paper out of the register and she just had it and went all the way to the shredder and put it in and just hit shred. And the shredder kept eating and just rolling it right off. And it was like, bloop, and it finished. And she just wasted like a whole roll. So like we were just like, think about that. That is like the most ridiculous thing. And if you're a teenager, you've never seen an adult act like that. You're just like, what is going on with this? So she told us one time that she was saying something about there's a mummy that was found in Egypt, and they carbon dated the mummy, and it went back that it was millions of years old. And my buddy, David, who's very intelligent, and he was like, you know, he's just a freshman in college. He's still a smart guy. But he said, Beulah, true or false? Carbon dating has, and he like broke down carbon dating. And she's like, it could sometimes. she was making stuff up. She ended up telling management that she had to leave. She could not work the week or in the evenings because the mafia was after her. And she had to leave during the, I'm telling you, this was, so, the best one, the first one that she said, she said one time, or her husband or divorce, but her husband was high up rank in the military. That's all it was. We never got if it was what branch of the military, it was always high up rank in the military. And we were living on base. And one day, my eyes started hurting. So I told my husband, I'm going to go in to see the doctor. And I was at the doctor on base. And then the doctor looked at me and said, said, Miss Bueller, do you wear contacts? And I said, well, no. And just then, two top secret agents burst in and they had a top secret badge. They had a top secret badge. And she said, I remember me and David were just like, what is, and, well, what'd they do? Well, they said, Miss Fisher, take these eye drops. You'll be absolutely fine. Don't even worry about it. And ending it with, and ever since then, I've been great. They helped. So that's just one little aspect of Sears. I got fired from Sears. I know everyone in jail is innocent, right? This isn't my fault. But I legit don't think this was my fault at all. I was fired from Sears, because somebody came in that used to work for Sears. I didn't know this person. But the manager of like the package pickup in the warehouse, he knew him. So I was ringing some stuff up for this guy, and that manager came out and started talking to the older employee or the former employee. And then the former employee asked me, he goes, hey, do you guys have any of the aerosol like keyboard spray, right? The aerosol air spray. And I said, no, we don't sell those anymore. And the manager of the warehouse said, oh, I got some in the back. Hold up. And he went and grabbed a can from the back shelf that I guess was zeroed out or meant for like in-store use or something and right. gave it to the guy, right? I bagged the guy's stuff up. The guy put the can down. He had to pay. There was a couple other things. I ended up putting the can in the bag, right? Not thinking, I just put the can in the bag, took off. So then they pulled me in. They were like, Aaron, we're going to have to let you go. We have to let you go. Why? They didn't know. I think it was, I came in for my next shift. They caught me and they said, Aaron, we're going to have to let you go. Why? What's going on? And he told me everything that's going on. Now, here's the thing. This was in the security room and I already know their tactics because I'm friendly and I talk to everyone. So like I'd be walking to the break room, pop my head in and I would just sit there and play with the security cameras because they were cool with me. And they were like, yeah. So I knew my area. I knew where cameras were hitting and everything. I knew all this. So here's this guy who's like befriended me, but now he's trying to be hard. And he's like, you helped this person steal and blah, blah. I said, dude, no, you know what happened. And I broke it down. What happened? He's like, yeah, but you put it in the bag. So we got to let you go. And I looked at him. I said, you don't know that. I go, I'm not fired. And he's like, yeah, Aaron, you're fired. We have it on camera, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, whatever. I tried. And that was it. My manager talked to me. I was fired. I said, well, this is a bunch of crap. And here's what I was really upset about. There was a contest going on where it was a safety contest and you had to make a billboard or like a poster board of like your safety, a safety message, an awareness message. And I made like this amazing poster board. Like I went so far in. I Martha Stewarted. Like I even had like cutouts of like different, pictures of like that they would have as like, the cardboard cutouts in Sears that were getting thrown away. I cut some heads out of that. I was great. And I was like, I'm going to win. And they were like, well, sorry, you can't be in that contest. I got pissed. I was like, I can't be in that. I put so much time and effort. So they were like, okay, fine. We won't make it final until this day. So you can come in like this early morning. And I was like, sure. And I came in and I won. And they gave me like a $50 gift card to Sears. Those jerks. And then, on the cutout, there was even like there was a condom. I put a condom, glued a condom because in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts tells her friend character. Why do I know this information? Because Julia Roberts tells her friend, hey, be safe. And then she goes, I'm a safety girl. And she holds up a condom. So I put a quote, I'm a safety girl. Like that's just the ridiculousness that was on this board. So I win. No one else in there knows that I'm fired. Until like I told one manager and they were like, what? They couldn't believe it. Anyways, I go in to get my final check. I go in the next day because I was like, well, I need to talk to the manager. I need to talk to Kent. I need to talk to like the general manager, barely sees him, walks around. That's it. So I come in the next day and he breaks down trying to say the same thing over. I was like, no, I said, listen, you're not going to fire me. You can't fire me. You got to rehire me. That's it. You got to rehire me. Well, why is that? I said, because I don't want to put a lawsuit to this. I don't want to. And I'm already talking to my mom's attorney, Tony Ramirez, which was a made up name. I said, and you have nothing to stand on. You fired me, a younger person, when I'm not the one who actually gave it to the other person. What happened to the manager, Alonzo? He's like, oh, or Alfredo. What happened to him? He was like, well, he's been talked to. No. He's still working. He has a job still. And I like stood up to this guy and I said, he said, well, we have you on tape. I go, no, you don't. I said, you know how many times I've been in that security room? I said, I know specifically that from where that can was, you don't have anything on tape. I said, you don't have anything on tape. So, I really think you need to reconsider your decision before this needs to be escalated. And I walked out and I kid you not, like this, I'm 17 years old and I just from learning from my mom, it's like, no, you just stand up and what do you have to lose? You know, so I left my mark. I walked out. I came back a few days later to pick up my final check. And the head of security cuts me off. He's like, hey, Aaron. I said, what? He's like, oh, well, we can't give you your check. And I almost exploded. And then he was like, no, I'm joking. Kent wants to talk to you. Talk to him. He's like, so after thinking about what you said, blah, 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 you know, I'd like to keep you hired on and blah, blah. I said, so I was fired, but now you're hiring me. I'm hiring you back, but you know, and he tells me all that. I said, no. Now this has been, the whole thing's been about a week and a half. And I told him, I said, okay, well, there's some things for me to come back that I need. I need the next few weeks off. I think it was like next few weeks I had off. Oh, because I wasn't on the schedule because they already pushed it out. I said, well, those weeks I would have worked those weeks and I usually get about 25 hours a week. So I'd like those hours paid that I didn't work. And then I need to have a week's vacation paid. And then what was awesome about it is it was commission versus draw. So your hourly would be whatever the average is that you made from commission. And it was just after the holiday season. So I banked. So I got paid for a whole month. Didn't work for a whole month. I think that was an awesome negotiation from like a student, like a 17-year-old. And then the topper on the cake was there was another contest of like who can sell the most protection maintenance plans. And I was in the running and then I wasn't because I got fired. So then they said, I want to be at that dinner. So they brought me to the dinner. Like it was at Outback, you know, it was just a point of it. So, that was how I got fired one time from Sears.
Yeah.
And then I came back and got hired again. They put me in Big Screens. And that was so – I was like veteran at that point. And I was like, now I'm in Big Screens. I'll wear suits. And
yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
what I was saying. You got the suit now.
I got the suit now. I'm like, yeah. Dude, but they all knew me. And it was still – so they still treated me like go, right. Aaron, go help out with the, and I'm like, you go help out with it. I don't work in that department anymore. You go over to that department. You sell a Nintendo. But yeah, so I got the suited up and everything. And I worked there for about a year. And again, and this was like at the same time where I had like another job. I left for another job. And then this is like a few years, I'd gone back and forth. And then the last time I was working at another job. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it seasonal. Cause they asked me to come back to do some sales. Like, yeah, this time I've been doing sales for years now. And now I came back as a vet. Now I came back and people were like, Aaron's back. You know, so I was like, all right. Okay. I got a little clout here. And I came back and I would just show up whenever I wanted to. They ended up not putting me on the schedule because, hey, Aaron's going to come in whenever he can make some money on things. And that's really the busiest time. And that's where we need him to come in. So I would maybe not come in for 2 weeks and then just show up 1 week, you know, they were completely okay with that. They were fine with that. So
that's pretty cool.
A lot of fun times yeah. During that time. That's, you know, awesome. Funny. What's up?
It's funny. I actually had a job similar where I was hired. I quit. Right. I was rehired. I got fired and they wanted to hire me back, but I said, nah, I was done with
that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love those jobs. But there's a reason why you keep going back. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason the people that worked, they were great. They were great. I loved them. They were so much fun. That's also the place where, I met my wife and she was working at Sears. She was working at Sears as well. And, but she was like, I always looked at her like she was mean. Like she was like, no nonsense. Like, you can't play game on her or anything. And I would actually go into, we would have like on weekends, on Saturdays, if you were working there, you, and in a specific department, you either have to go to a morning meeting or an afternoon meeting, whichever time you're scheduled. I would come in the morning meeting, and if she was there, I would just like stalk her. Like, I would just like look at, like, I was like enchanted with her. And then if she wasn't in the morning meeting, I would come back in the afternoon meeting just to see her. That sounds creepy. Just so I can stare at her. I would behind a pole. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? And eventually I talked to her. So awesome. Danny, this has been fun. This has been fun, man. I like hearing these stories. I like being able to share these stories. These are stories.
Yeah, that's a good story. So my computer does not play PlayStation games, huh?
No. So it doesn't play. Wow. And we heard her say it. It played, and she had a little accent. She goes, "Oh yeah, it'll play everything. It'll do it all. It'll play everything. There's one thing that I just remembered that it's something I used in sales and sales training, and like I pass it on, and I need to write it down as one of my Aaronisms. But it's look at that pause. Now this is when DVDs were just put into computers, like Compact Prosari with the DVDs, brand new thing, you know. And you can go and I can go through all the stats and specs and everything, but majority of people, there's more people now who are more familiar, but back in the early 2000s, it was garbly gumbo, you know, that what I was talking, you know, to most people. So I'm explaining these, you know, how many megahertz, you know, is on this. And but they had the DVD player, and I was like, man, they had Titanic on DVD, because that's when DVDs were new, and they always play it in the big screens. Well, I stole it from the big screens one day, and I was like, nah, screw this. If it's going to help them sell DVD players and TVs, it's going to help me sell the computer. So I put it in, closed it up, and I would have it playing, just the Titanic playing, and people would look at it. I'm like, you want to see the coolest thing? And it's the highest, obviously, the biggest package, the biggest, best computer I have it playing on. And I would say, check this out. And I'd pause it anywhere. And I pause it, and you know, it's digital, right? So it's going to pause, freeze frame. And so many times that was the very first time someone had seen a paused video that wasn't like, that wasn't recorded, right? Cause you press a pause on a VHS. This is the very beginning when DVDs, when video on, you know, CD format, you know, so a lot of people, they had, and I'd say, I'd pause it. I go, look at that pause. And they would go, oh my goodness.
That's awesome.
They'd be like, oh my goodness. Oh, wow. And I was like, you need to get this one. I'd sell so many of them like that. You got it. So check out that pause. People just want to, a lot of times people just want to buy the flashy. They want to buy the flashy, you know, and that's fine. If the value of that flashy is higher than what they're willing to pay, okay. Value's higher. Go ahead and buy it. Good for them. But check out that pause. So now with my wife, every time I pause streaming, every time I pause the TV, I go, check out that pause, babe.
That's awesome.
Check out. I did that.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you what I learned from Sears is honest truth. It's the first time recognizing I was still 17. I was still a senior in high school, but recognizing legitimately looking at adults and thinking, oh, you don't know what you're doing either. You know, like, oh, you don't have it right. Like that was the first time where I was like I've seen adults mess up before, you know, obviously. But you know, there's that point in time where you realize, oh, you know, now most people, a lot of people, I think, get it when they get older and they're like, what the hell? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure this out too, you know, and knowing that teenagers are looking at you like, oh, you must have it figured out by now, you know, like life. But that's when I realized, like, looking at all these adults making these, and I'm 17 years old and I'm able to destroy them and like destruct everything that they're doing and what they're saying and bring it back and then get them to hire me and get them to give me free money for a month. You know, I was like, wow. I'm not thinking, oh, I'm better. And I'm not thinking all these adults that I'm working with are less than. It's like, we don't know. We don't know what, sometimes we just do things and we don't get it. So, exactly. Yeah, I think that was the first open. And I think that was good. It was good because it, I think it took a lot of pressure off of me at that point, who was 17, about to be 18. And oh my goodness, I'm about to be an adult and I don't know anything. You know, I don't know what. And so I was like, oh, so we all don't know.
Exactly.
Are we all on the same page? We all don't know. Okay. All right. I'll figure it out.
You probably got a little bit of I'm going to be okay. You're not going to
be. Absolutely.
You know,
on that, during the same time period, I was about to take the SATs and I was going through SAT prep. And I was at McDonald's with my best friend Mario, episode 4. And he, and we were at McDonald's and I was like, man, I don't know if I mess this SATs up and all this, you know, what am I going to, how am I going to get a job and all this other stuff. And we went to leave and there were two people who seemed friendly, friend-like from across. It was only us and them. And they were dressed in suits and they were mid 30s, I would say, early 30s, mid 30s. I think we asked them. I'm pretty sure we asked them. I would say 30s, definitely not 20s, definitely 30s. And I said, hey, look, sorry to bother you guys. Walked up to them. Sorry to bother you guys. You both look like you're well-to-do. You've done good enough, at least that you've been able to buy suits, nice-looking suits. You know, so I'm a senior in high school. I'm worried about my future. Am I going to get a job? What type of job? All this other stuff. And I'm about to take the SATs. What did you guys get on your SATs? And one of them said, he was like, I think I somewhere around a 1,000. And this is where the grading was like lower. Now the grading has jumped up higher. But he's like, I think 1,600 was the top at that point. And one of them said, I think I got about 1,000, you know, just, you know, it's okay. I said, okay. And the other one's like, man, I think I got like a 600. And I started laughing because I was like, I said, what? A 600? You get 400 points just for getting your name right.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I told him. And I was laughing. I didn't have maybe the best decorum. This complete stranger, I'm like, can you please help me with your wisdom? And I'm like, ew, you stupid. You're so dumb. I guess that also opened my eyes with like, I'm going to be okay. I remember that feeling after. I was like, okay, I'm going to be okay. Yeah. 1390, son.
Nice.
Crushed it.
Yeah, I got an 1190.
That's okay. Look, I met some guy that got 600 before.
Hey, how do you know if what he actually got wrong was his name? He
might have been put in the test. So true. He got his name wrong. He did better on the test than he did on his name. Oh, poor guy. I never thought of it like that. This is perfect. Awesome. Danny, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And guys, everyone else out there in internet computer world, that's what they're calling it now, computer world, the internet. It's metaverse is not working. They're going to, let's take it back to basics, computer world. Thank you everyone out there in computer world for listening, watching, subscribing and loving us, and check us out on the next episode or check out the previous episodes. Those are cool too. Not as cool as with Danny. Danny's amazing. Heart you, buddy.
Thanks for having me again, Aaron.
Awesome.
And real quick,
let me
tell you why I picked that quote.
Oh, yes. Why?
My first job ever was 17 at a little place called, it was a big place called Incredible Universe. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
Okay. If you look it up, it's hilarious, especially their commercials. My first check, I used to buy a PlayStation.
Nice.
That's why I did it.
Nice. First check, PlayStation 1.
Yes, sir. PlayStation 1.
Nice, the original. Very cool. Yeah. All right, brother. Thank you so much, man. Right.
Thanks again for having me, Aaron. I appreciate it.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.